My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the devil baby of Hull House, Chicago's most disturbing legend.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is, and if you have a real ghost story, share it with us, because we love them around here. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, access to the archive, all without commercials. I mean, I think I said that. And the advance episodes. I don't think I said that. You can sign up today at Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's with me today.
I am. And I am loving this because I love Chicago. I love scary stories. Mm-hmm. And didn't you and I go on a ghost tour that went to the Hull House, or was I with someone else?
You were with somebody else because I went with my friend James Woods.
Okay. I know I went at one point.
Yeah, because James and I went on a ghost tour of Chicago that was on a bus because it was a little... Mm-hmm. drive to get there, because it's on the campus, isn't it? On the campus of the university.
It's on,
seems like
it, yeah, it's a, I'd have to look it up, but I remember going and we couldn't go in it, but we like looked in the windows.
So I went there with James, and they also, so they let us off the bus and we're walking around, and then there was a portal to hell. Right,
oh, that's
there.
Right. It had a portal to hell.
Had a portal. Well, at least it was a portal. James, of course, my friend, referred to it as a portal to hell. And at one point he says, would you like to hold hands and skip across the portal to hell? And I'm like, okay. So we did. But the funny thing,
sounds like that's a little taunting.
We were skipping. We were friendly. We didn't say anything taunting. And so the funny thing, though, is I remember I was looking in the front door. And so there's all the people from my tour wandering around. And I didn't realize that you could see all the way to, through to the back door. And so a woman walks to the back door. So I just see what I thought was an apparition. I screamed. And it was just a lady from our tour looking in the back door. But yeah, it was, it's a fascinating story. And since it's Halloween, I thought it'd be fun to kind of do a historical haunting story, and then we'll talk about one not quite as historical. I went through the archives, our story archives, and I found a Halloween story I thought I would reshare. Certainly we shared it years ago, but so I wanted to talk about the devil baby of Hull House.
Yes.
And I've heard that this is kind of the basis, the idea is what inspired Rosemary's Baby.
Now, I believe that's correct.
Yeah. Whether that's true or not, but I think that's what they told us on the tour. Mm-hmm. And if you've never seen Rosemary's Baby, I think they re-released it. But the original one with Mia Farrow is so good. It is so creepy. It's a great movie. So Chicago's had its share of ghost stories. The Congress Plaza Hotel, which you and I have stayed at. Mm-hmm. Bachelor's Grove, Resurrection Mary. But few legends have lingered quite like the one born at Hull House. Hull House wasn't a haunted mansion or an old asylum. It was a beacon of hope. It was founded in 1889 by social reformer Jane Addams. It was one of the first settlement houses in the United States. It was a place where immigrants and the poor could get help, learn English, and find community. By the early 1900s, it was the heart of Chicago's West Side. But sometime around 1913, something strange started to happen. It began with whispers, quiet at first, spreading through the immigrant neighborhoods like smoke. People said there was a baby hidden inside the Hull House, but not just any baby, it was a devil baby. The story took on a dozen forms, depending on who told it. In one version, a deeply religious Italian woman married a man who mocked her faith. When she hung a picture of the Virgin Mary in their home, he tore it down and he cursed her, shouting that he'd rather have the devil himself for a son. Months later, she gave birth to a child with horns, scales, and cloven feet. Another version, the child was born to a young unmarried girl, her punishment, people said, for her sin. The details shifted, but the ending was always the same. The family, terrified, brought the monstrous baby to the Hull House, begging Jane Addams to take it in. I think I heard the story that I think was shared with us was more the story about the pregnant woman, young girl mm-hmm. who was pregnant out of wedlock. Yeah. And so they took her in. I think they said they took her in and she had the baby there. I don't quite remember. So the legend spread like wildfire throughout the community. And within days, crowds began gathering outside the Hull House. Hundreds at first, then thousands. Entire families came desperate for a glimpse of the devil baby. Many believed it was a miracle or perhaps a warning. Some came to pray. Others brought offerings, candles, food, small crosses to protect themselves. Jane Addams, who was alive during all of this, wrote about the chaos in her memoirs. She said that the line of people outside sometimes stretched for blocks. She tried again and again to explain that there was no such baby, but no one believed her. Could you imagine? So the story took on a life of its own. People swore they'd seen the creature rocking in the nursery or crawling across the floor on cloven hooves. One woman claimed to have heard it laughing, not the sound of a baby, but somehow deeper and guttural. Another said she saw its reflection in a mirror before it vanished. Jane Addams later said she realized the legend wasn't about a baby at all. It was about guilt, fear, and faith. The families who came to her door were struggling with poverty, loss, and superstition. The devil baby became a way to explain all the pain they couldn't understand. But the strangest part is how the story refused to die. Long after Addams passed away, people still claimed Hull House was haunted. Staff and visitors reported footsteps, cold drafts, and the faint sound of crying echoing through the empty rooms. Even now, Hull House, preserved as a museum, draws ghost hunters every October. Some leave offerings at the door, continuing the old tradition. No one has ever found evidence of a devil baby. There are guests who swear they felt something, a small, quick tug on the back of their shirt, like a child reaching out for attention. Whether it was born from superstition, grief, or something even darker, the legend of the devil baby endures, a reminder that even places built for kindness can't always keep the darkness away. To this day, Hull House still stands. It's a museum now, bright, quiet, well-kept. But those who work there say the air changes sometimes. Visitors claim to hear faint crying from the upstairs rooms or a small hand tugging at their coat when there's no one there. Maybe it's just echoes of the past. Maybe it's something that never left. But if you find yourself in Chicago at Halloween, standing outside the Hull House as the sun goes down, Take a moment to listen, because some legends don't fade away, they grow up. And actually, that's still the story they tell to this day. Because I know when we went, they said, we're talking about the upstairs bedrooms, that people have seen a baby up there looking out. It's got the weird eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still sharing that story to this day. And that is
they
so are. Interesting because the whole house was like known as this very, you know, it was a place where people could seek refuge and get help. And then it turned into the devil baby house. Poor Jane Addams.
You know, I always think that whenever there's some sort of hysteria like this, there's a grain of truth.
Right.
And something happened, and then it grows and it gets bigger and it gets more elaborate and more, you know, just crazier and crazier. And people start saying, oh, it's got cloven hooves or whatever. And I don't think that was the case, but it does make you wonder if maybe someone had a baby that had some, you know, abnormalities.
Yeah, could be.
And so there was something that really did happen, and maybe the baby died or, you know, something of that nature happened. And then it just kind of got out of control.
Yeah, because it seems like there should be some sort of genesis for this story.
Yeah.
You know, that it's based on something that happened.
I think so. And I think almost all the time, you know, I used to always say the National Enquirer was a crazy publication back in the day. But always when they would come up with something, later you'd find there was some sort of something that instigated that story. Mm-hmm. They always had it bigger than it was. But, you know, it was often there was some little bit about that. But I think in this situation, I think something tragic did happen.
Yes.
Now, could that situation still be haunting the house? Very possibly. I think the idea of it being a devil baby or demon baby or something, I'm guessing that's not the case, but I think you could have a mother, you could have a child that died, and they still haunt it.
And
that, I think, is a strong possibility.
I think that there's an imprint of energy left behind. And when you have a mass hysteria, again, like in the other episode, we were talking about the War of the Worlds and the mass hysteria around Orson Welles' broadcast in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the same thing. It created hysteria. People,
yeah.
You know, they came for protection. They're afraid, you know, that I need to offer it something because I don't want it to be mad at me. It created all kinds of emotions.
When I visited there, and like I said, you could not go in, but it was creepy. Just standing on the grounds, looking in the windows, I got a chill.
But
and I have to say that it bothered me a little bit there. I think there is something still there. I think something haunts it, but why wouldn't it? It's a very old house.
But it doesn't have to be a devil baby.
No, I don't think it's a devil baby. I do think they said, you know, people still say that the people that work there hear things, hear, you know, a laughter, hear footsteps, hear that sort of thing. Classic paranormal activity happening.
Yeah. And
I think that probably very well is, you know.
To me, you know, happening. When you go to take a ghost tour and they're telling you stories like they told us, your expectation is one thing, you know, because they've already told us that you could maybe see this devil baby if you look out up in the window because other people have seen it. So it gives you a weird feeling like there's this portal to hell. Maybe
right.
It wasn't to hell, but that in my head, that's what they told us. But there was definitely a portal there. And so you get feeling, you know, so it creates this kind of expectation and oh, shit feeling.
But I did get a little creep feeling.
But I would highly recommend going there to anybody. Taking the ghost tour.
Yeah, most definitely. But I personally think there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a devil baby situation. Yeah.
And I think because I've seen Rosemary's Baby and that devil baby's eyes, I was like, I don't want to see that. Right. I don't want to see a baby with cloven hoof.
No, feet. One wants to see that.
So, yeah, check it out if you ever can. So, once again, went through the archives. I found a Halloween story submitted at some point years ago. And this says it happened on Halloween night in 2004. My best friend Pam and her husband Dan lived on a small farm just outside of town. They were having a bonfire that night, so I decided to drive out there and spend the evening with them. It was late when I pulled up. The sky was already getting that gray-orange color, almost dark. Parked out in their big field near the woods like we always did, and I started walking toward the house. When I got closer, I could tell something was off right away. Pam and Dan were standing together near the barn, not talking much. They both looked pale and nervous, and I asked them what was wrong, and Dan said, "You should come see this." He led me behind the barn where the ground had been dug up. It looked fresh, like he'd just been working on it that day. When I walked up and looked down, I saw a hole about 2 or 3 feet deep, and inside were a bunch of old headstones stacked on top of each other. They were real gravestones, heavy and worn, with names and dates carved into them. Some were cracked, some had pieces missing. You could still make out a few of the names, though most of them had faded. I asked Dan where they came from. He said he didn't know. He'd been out there earlier in the week clearing the field and hit something solid with his backhoe. When he started digging, he found the old stones buried together like someone had dumped them years ago. He had not found any bones or caskets, just the stones, but it felt wrong. He said he was going to call the county on Monday to figure out what to do with them, but for now, he covered them up with a tarp. We tried to shake it off and enjoy the night. Oh, I think I'll have a beer, Dan.
Yeah, well, after that,
I'd like to sit down for a minute.
You got
Dan?
Anything a little stronger than beer?
I could use a whiskey with my beer, Dan.
Oh, my.
So, about the headstones. Or it's like,
I could just see everybody getting around this circle and just sitting there. Completely,
and it's like small talk. Has anybody gone to see any Friday night football games?
Yeah, World Series has been interesting.
I hear there's a craft fair down at the 4-H Center.
Seriously.
Okay, so anyway, back to them. Okay, they're going to have a sit down. The bonfire was going, people were drinking and talking. It ended up being a pretty good time. But every once in a while, I'd glance toward the barn, and I'd think about that hole, and it gave me a weird feeling I couldn't shake. By the time everyone left, it was close to midnight. Snow had started to fall, just a light dusting. The fire was dying down. I was staying overnight, so I said goodnight to Pam and Dan and went upstairs to the guest room. I must have fallen asleep pretty quickly, because the next thing I remember was waking up to a loud noise. Sounded like a door slamming downstairs, and a few seconds later, I heard Pam scream. I ran out of the room and saw Dan coming out of theirs, already halfway down the hall. When I got to the bedroom, Pam was sitting in her bed, crying and holding her throat. She said it was choking me. Dan looked shaken. He'd woken up to her thrashing around and saw a dark figure standing over her with its hands around her neck. He grabbed the gun from the nightstand, and as soon as he shouted, the thing turned and went straight out the door. They both heard it go down the stairs and slam the front door. Dan ran outside barefoot into the snow. It had only been falling for maybe an hour or two, so there should have been footprints everywhere, but there weren't any. He said it was like whatever it was had just vanished. None of us went back to sleep that night. We sat in the living room with the lights on until morning, and every noise made us jump. When the sun came up, Dan went out to the field again. The tarp had blown halfway off. The snow had settled right over the headstones. He stood there for a while, just staring at them, and said, "I think they want to be left alone." He called the county. Someone came out and said the stones were from the mid-1800s. Apparently, there had been a small cemetery nearby that was moved years ago, and somehow the old markers ended up being buried there. Nobody knew who dumped them or why. Dan eventually had the stones taken to the local historical society. He filled in the hole, fenced off that part of the property. After that, Pam said strange things still happen every once in a while. tapping on the walls at night, doors opening on their own, that kind of thing. Nothing as bad as what happened that Halloween night, but enough to make them nervous. They still live there, but they don't use that side of the field anymore. I've gone back a few times since, but I'll tell you, I've never stayed overnight again. Once was enough for me. And every Halloween, I think about those headstones and that shadow in the house. Maybe it was just a bad dream. Maybe it was stress or the snow playing tricks, but part of me thinks something didn't appreciate being dug up that day. Patricia. So, you know, I think if I'd have gotten to that party, so it's a Halloween party, right? And Dan and Pam are like, hey, Patricia, come over here and look inside this hole. Headstones. I'd been like, very funny, Dan and Pam. Where did you get them? I don't think I'd have believed it. But I guess you would know Dan and Pam well enough to know, you know, Dan doesn't do shit like that.
Well, okay. And these would be obviously real headstones. Like, this would be beyond a practical joke. Like, to move headstones and put them all in this hole.
But I still think I would be not believing it because it's a Halloween party. How convenient.
I mean, okay, let's face it. The coincidence here is off the charts, right? That this would happen within... It sounded like maybe it had happened not exactly that day, but within a very short, a couple days.
Yeah, probably everyone coming to the party, Dan and Pam, are like, you got to come see this.
Exactly. That's what I think was... was weird, but I don't think Dan would have gone and gotten, because everybody could tell they were real, right? Headstones. I don't think Dan would have gone and gotten real headstones for a joke. I really do think that probably exactly what he says happened, that there had been a small cemetery, somebody wanted to build there, farm there, whatever. And then they just threw the stones all over here, put them in a hole, forget about it, right? And just go on with their business. It seems like a really bad idea to me. Maybe it's just me, but I think just desecrating a cemetery is asking for trouble. But with that said, I think the timing is really crazy, but I believe all of it.
I think.
Now, what do you think about the shadow figure choking her?
See, that could have been sleep paralysis, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how real it could feel. And so, you know, it could have been something paranormal, but at least it didn't happen anymore.
Let's go a step further. Now, wait a minute. Everybody heard the door slam and then run out.
Oh, yeah, that.
So there's that.
I thought maybe it was coincidental that a serial killer just happened to be in the neighborhood. But then they
didn't. Could it have been a real person?
Yeah, but they didn't see any footprints in the snow.
Exactly.
But at least it didn't happen to Pam again. But it was so real, Dan grabbed his gun and went out after him.
Well, they heard it.
Yeah.
They heard this, you know, because Patricia said Pam screamed. They heard a door slam or vice versa, maybe. So something really happened here, and it's weird. The timing is just so weird in the whole thing. Yeah. Halloween, they find this thing with, you know, it's very close to the time of the bonfire. Then that night, this happens.
I'd have been, if I was Pam, I'd have been like, Dan, this is going to make our Halloween bonfire awesome.
Like, well, and then we're like, going to show all of our guests everybody's this. Like, do we want to go back to the bonfire next year? Because that was kind of, they were kind of
Pam
like
and Dan in. Went a little out there last year for the party.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, and Patricia's like, I'm never spending the night at their house again.
I know. I'm just trying to decide the timing is just so weird. How could it not have something to do
with
the cemetery graves?
And I think there was probably somebody who lived, farmer who lived there years ago, plowing up fields, stumbled across one of those family cemeteries. They got the bodies removed, and then he didn't know what else to do with the tombstone, so he just dug a hole and buried it.
Or maybe he didn't even remove the bodies. Maybe he just...
I think the historian tell them that They had
moved it or something.
I thought he said something about
but
that.
But why wouldn't you move the stones with them? But I don't know.
Well, because they were more concerned about the bodies. And the stones could have been falling apart. They're just hard to move. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it did, I think it had to have had something to do with the stones.
I'm just telling you, if anybody has friends named Pam and Dan and they're having a Halloween party, I would think twice about going.
Oh, I'd go in a heartbeat. I hope they invite me.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you want access to the archive, advance episodes, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Extra value meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.